This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and in the studio with me today are Sharmila Gunnison and Lim Soo Ann. As always, two stories for you today.
First up, for every Monday in 2020, the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, France, will be reimagining a famous artist as a social media user on its own Instagram page. So they're doing this to create a bridge between younger generations as well as older artists. So we'll be discussing that in our first story. So in recent years, we've seen Instagram become quite an important marketing tool and even a creative outlet for many contemporary artists, and also increasingly for museums as well. And so creating a relationship and dialogue with their followers has actually helped to build up the community around museums, and it's brought many institutions that may feel quite archaic or intimidating for some people into the present, while simultaneously making these places more accessible. And so now Paris's Musée d'Orsay will be using the platform to help visitors engage with artists of the past.
Right, so the museum has actually brought on painter, illustrator and writer Jean-Philippe Delorme as its first Instagram artist in residence. So now he's not completely in charge of the account, but for every Monday for the rest of the year, Delorme will take over the d'Orsay's social media to imagine an Instagram post from a famous artist or a cultural figure. And the goal in mind, of course, is to help younger audiences feel more connected to the older artists.
So Delorme was likely chosen because he has been involved in a similar project. So he released a book last year called Artists' Instagrams, the never-seen Instagrams of the great artists. And in this book, he depicted the social media accounts of artists like Frida Kahlo, Henri Matisse, Pablo Picasso. And when his book was released, he told The Guardian that if Instagram had existed a century ago, there would be no art criticism today, only thumbs ups and emojis.
Alrighty. He also said that he wants to focus on artists who were famous to the point of creating mythologies around themselves. So he added that even the most serious artists want to be seen. So, you know, he said, quote unquote, why wouldn't they show off like everyone else? The element was always there, but with these social platforms, it's just simply irresistible.
And so we've had two Mondays of 2020 so far, and Delorme's first post for the d'Orsay debuted on January 6th, and that depicts a post by art critic Joris Carl Huseman, and he thanks French Impressionist artist Jean-Louis Forain for his portrait. And the post is also liked by Forain himself, as well as Edgar Degas, an artist whose work was championed by Huseman.
Well, then, this is how they would have rolled back in the day. And the second post was published just a couple of days ago. And this time, this was a post by Edgar Degas, who's famous, of course, for his oil paintings of ballerinas. So the post features several images at once and is captioned, "Sorry, I can't show you my long paintings all at once. Please swipe."
So, you know, this novel approach to embracing technology is expected to sort of breathe new life into the artists and the artworks which are already on display. So the Musée d'Orsay is home to France's national collection of art, which was produced between 1848 and 1914. It houses some of the largest collections of Impressionist and Post-Impressionist art in the world. And, you know, it's a must-see destination for fans of people like Degas, Monet, Van Gogh and more. So there's already a wealth of artists ready to be featured on its Instagram. I can't wait to see the conversations, you know.
The use of this Instagram as well is also meant to promote temporary exhibitions that they are planning to have at the museum throughout the year. And so looking at the first two posts, for example, both Joris Carl Huseman and Edgar Degas are currently being featured in two separate exhibitions at the museum. And so the museum's president, Laurence Descartes, told French newspaper Le Figaro that the purpose of the object was to bring more visibility to its artists from centuries ago. And she said that, I'm quoting here, "The aim of the residency is to bring these artists of the second half of the 19th century closer by enrolling them in today's interactions."
She also added that the idea is not to desecrate these works, but rather to draw attention to a particular moment in an artist's biography, the issues or the novelty of a painting, and through contemporary commentaries, whether fictitious or not, to evoke the adhesions or antagonisms aroused. I'm quoting, of course, those are not my words.
So it's quite interesting, right? Especially because the main goal of them doing this is to sort of create a feeling of interconnectedness between younger generations of today who are very familiar with social media and trying to get them to understand more about older artists from centuries past. And so I spoke to artist Ruby Subramaniam earlier today, and I first asked her if she saw that sort of disconnect here in Malaysia.
Yeah, I think at this point of time, if you're talking about Malaysian context, there's definitely a disconnect from young audiences to just even artists, right? Local artists. So they don't know who the local artists are unless they're doing something very public, something that's very Instagram-led. So if you're asking about if the Malaysian audience is connected to the older generation of Malaysian artists that, you know, first created a lot of very substantial works in developing the idea of nationhood for Malaysia and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of independent artists themselves who probably didn't go to school, self-taught artists, don't have very clear understanding or history of this information. So yeah, I think something like this definitely will be very useful in order to bring out personalities of artists from the past. But at the same time, we also got to take into consideration the idea that, for example, someone like Van Gogh would have never been a famous Instagram artist simply because he didn't have the personality to be sort of a social media influencer, right? So can we still use works of the artists related back to today's day and age, but at the same time stay true to the personality of the artist?
So then I've read that the museum's president said that their idea is not to desecrate the works of the artist. So would you say, would some people consider this disrespectful in any way? Because like you said, right, it may not necessarily be in the personality of the artist back then.
Yeah, so I think when doing a project like this, it has to be very, very clear what is the strategy and what is the big objective of doing something like this. If the idea is to increase the number of visitors, of young users to the museums, then yes, it works perfect. But if the idea is to simply increase understanding of art history, then it may not be the wisest idea. You know, there could be a lot of just other different strategies to be taken. Maybe doing simpler video formats might be the way to go. So it all then boils back to the museum itself and how the country is sort of seeing the way they want to grow the arts. And of course, then adopting technology moving forward, because we cannot sideline technology anymore. We cannot sideline social media profiles anymore.
So, for example, if we employ this strategy in Malaysia, right, we use this to highlight older Malaysian artists that people may not necessarily be aware of. Would that be a good enough poll, do you think, to get people to go to art galleries, to go to museums, to watch, to look at exhibitions of these artists?
Yeah, I think Balai Seni actually did try something quite interactive maybe 1 or 2 years ago. I remember going to an exhibition where they had taken older works and turned those works into GIF art, right? Mm-hmm. So it's somewhat moving, but very, very minimal movement. So that was already quite interesting, I think, for us Malaysians to attempt. But unfortunately, there wasn't enough awareness or marketing built around it. So unless you're already someone who goes to Balai Seni on a regular, taking your own initiative to go and see what's up in there, you don't actually find out about it. Where else, when we bring in an external exhibition, which we saw with Leonardo da Vinci's exhibition, then a lot of people flock into it. So it's sort of a chicken and egg situation. I'm not saying Malaysia is not already doing it. We are. But how much does the public know about this?
And from your perspective, right, what sort of role do you see technology playing in ensuring that there's a sustainability towards people and enjoying art, people wanting to find out more about art history in Malaysia?
I think technology is already doing that. If you look at the landscape of artists today in Malaysia, you've got a pool of artists, a big pool of artists who've gone the traditional route using the galleries and stuff like that. But there's another much, much younger pool that has been using technology and different platforms of technology, not just Instagram. Instagram is one of the many tools that are available for artists. But the algorithm of Instagrams itself can be a little tricky to navigate, especially if you're using art history as a context, simply because Instagram works with people's reaction. And so When you, of course, painting pictures of cats will give you more likes than painting pictures that actually has substance in terms of maybe the idea of nationhood here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then all the different parties involved, the gallery, the artists, they all need to be aware of these things while they are choosing the strategy to move forward. So I think technology already has plenty of tools to support artists to get their work to a much larger crowd. There are illustrators that are using Twitter to reach out to an international crowd and make sure that they get hired by putting their portfolio out on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got artists who are on Patreon that are finding on a monthly basis for them to actually support their art making,
mm-hmm.
Without being reliant on grants and selling their work in museums. So artists are being independent because of the availability of technology. Now, there's the other gatekeepers. We've got the different galleries, we've got the different news channels that promote the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all different gatekeepers that control accessibility and awareness for the arts, right? Are they aware of this? Are they aware of how technology are already helping the arts industry? And how long will they take to be aware of that and start using that to their advantage rather than, you know, waiting for the trends to move on and then catching up once the train has gone?
So that was artist Ruby Subramanian weighing in on the idea of how the Musée d'Orsay in Paris is trying to reimagine artists such as Edgar Degas on their Instagram, thinking about how they would have used social media if it existed back then. So what did you think it was a cool idea?
I think it's very cute. You know, anything that kind of bridges this gap between a world and a life that feels very remote. And you know, when you think of someone like Degas, his paintings are famous, but I don't think many people think too much about who he was or what he might have been like as a person.
Mm.
And in this day and age, perhaps that sense of connection really does help.
Yeah, and you know, for people like Van Gogh, for example, there's so many movies about him, for
yes.
example, so it's easy to know about his life. But what I imagine, like the artist who's doing this, what he's doing is finding interesting snippets of their life and their personality, right? And fusing it into these social media sort of or Instagram posts, right? To make it more relatable. So, you know, it's picking interesting things that would intrigue us to go and see his works. The different artists' works as well. So I really think it's a fun thing to do.
Mm. Yeah.
And who knows, you might find out things about the particular artists that you didn't know before as well, like just bits and pieces of their life. And I guess it's just one strategy of many that a lot of museums are trying to employ nowadays to get more foot traffic into museums. And a lot of times these museums aren't necessarily expensive to go either, but it's just that not enough people are aware or interested enough to go.
And I think the other thing that this does that's very interesting is actually create an active link between working artists today, in this case Delhomme, with these artists from the past,
that's
because
right.
they're not operating in silos. His work now actually has direct links to their work.
Mm-hmm.
They draw inspiration and they almost feed into each other.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of interesting. And the fact that it's on a platform like Instagram, which is so almost DIY. Anyone can put their work up there.
That's right.
I think just creates this sort of ecosystem of continuous work, which I like a lot. There's something about it that makes me feel like it's very accessible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key, right, to make it more accessible. I know there's this Facebook group that, you know, both you and I follow called Existential Comics,
yes.
which is about philosophy, you know, taking all the different famous philosophers and kind of making them characters who sort of fight with each other,
yes.
and you know, use their philosophy to fight. And it makes it funny and relatable. And, you know, of course, there's things that are easily shared, you know, and then you just, it makes you want to go and read up more about, you know, what they actually, you know, their philosophies and things like that. So I really think this will help a lot of people just get that interest.
Because otherwise you would just have to look for a textbook
Or go online and search for some document that has a long
So we did get a WhatsApp in from a Robert who says, there is a really fascinating digital art museum in Paris, the Atelier des Lumières, which projects artwork on the walls and floors of a former foundry. Really immersive and interesting way to interact with the art. When I went, one of the shows was Van Gogh's art, though I still maintain that this type of experience cannot replace the real painting itself. I think that's a fair point.
Definitely.
It's not meant to be a replacement for the experience of the artwork itself, but maybe a way to draw people in.
It's an advertisement.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you get people interested in that particular artist's work and also the artwork who's that the new artist is basing the work on.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know if that will make you more interested to go to any art museum.
See, I already got
art museums. Same. Yeah. So, okay,
what I think it might do, though, for me, especially with artists that I don't know a lot about or maybe don't think too much about, because, you know, you have some of them who are the personalities, like you mentioned, it might make me want to learn more about them.
That's
and
true.
Their context. Mm-hmm. Like, what would they have been like as a person? Which I think is fascinating for most people, right?
Yeah. And it's just a way that for us, you know, I think most of the time we see these paintings and we don't think about the artist. Mm-hmm. But this sort of gives you that prompt. Oh, look, there's so much that you can also know, not only about the painting and the artist themselves and how, like, the artist's history actually fed into the painting and the artwork that they made.
Exactly. So when we had Ruby on to do the 2019 sort of wrap-up, she was talking about how we need more works, we need more exhibitions that revisit Malaysian artists from the past. And I think something like this, I mean, not exactly this, but imagining a way that we can do it this way would be great, I think, because I don't think the general public has enough ways to access our own wealth of art history.
Art history, yeah. That's wonderful. And, you know, if you have any thoughts, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can always send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We're going to take a short break, but here's Blondie with Picture This. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.